Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Faceoff here on WGRY. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins and Nick Foles from Odawa Casino, who has been hosting Friday Faceoff for a number of months. So first and foremost, Nick, welcome to the cauldron.
Hey, man, thank you for having me. This is great.
That mic's got to be booted up. There you go. That should be better. Gentlemen, place your bets.
I'll bet there's no hockey today.
that's a really good bet.
That bet.
an outstanding bet there. It's a good thing we've got a couple more weeks before the sportsbook is tentatively scheduled to open.
Nick,
yeah, we've been talking a little bit about that. Tell our listeners here on our sports station, because we've been talking about it on the Rock and Roll station, about what needs to happen to make our deadline, which right now is September 10th.
So right now, myself and the sportsbook manager, his name is Chris. You guys should be meeting him next week when we get him on the air. We are just working as much as we can right now to get the signal, to get everything up and running. So when we get the equipment here sent from Vegas, that's the company that we're working with, we're partnering with in this venture. We get the equipment here, be a plug and play, go from there, cross the T's and dot the I's at that point and make sure we want to offer a really good product and people are excited to bet some sports. So we want to make sure we're up and running, ready to go when we make that happen.
Did you pass the phone around and show our guys here what the sports lounge looks like?
I meant to. I mean, yes.
That's important.
It's pretty sweet. Rich, put your hand down. Nick can hold his own microphone.
Hey, this is customer service here. This is great. Exactly. This is great, right? I'm not going to cancel you holding this up for me or postpone it, right? So here we go.
Anyways, while he's pulling up those pictures, guys, obviously Keith and I talked about this yesterday on Game On. I can't even bring a comparison to what's going on in the world of sports. Maybe since the shutdown of baseball and football at 9/11.
Yeah, I think so. Or I can go back to the weekend that Kennedy was shot, in 1963, and what the NFL decided to do then. But these are tumultuous times in sports for sure, and it seems like we're making it up as we go along, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and one of the people at the forefront, or one of the teams, the Detroit Lions, JC, of all teams, were really at the forefront of really starting this protest.
You know, it's I haven't heard the machinations that went through that. It just all of a sudden it appeared that the Lions were not going to practice. And then I saw the coverage afterwards with the players out on the field discussing their feelings about the latest police violence in Kenosha. And now all these other teams followed suit. Keith and I talked briefly yesterday about how the NBA all went down. Originally, the Bucks just wanted to forfeit that game. Now, all the other guys in the bubble had already been discussing what they could do, what they couldn't do. And then finally, George Hill and a couple of the other guys in the Bucks said, we're not playing. And Keith and I both thought that Orlando should have showed up on the floor and they called the game. I think that would have been more impactful of somebody actually forfeiting a game for this. But I don't think the rest of the guys in the NBA wanted to be left behind. So, we wanted to have all voices heard. But like you said, Keith, it's a fluid situation and there's no playbook for any of this.
I think the NBA did the right thing. They jumped on it right away when they saw that Milwaukee wasn't going to play. They pretty much pulled the plug on all three games real quickly, and they put on a united front. And then after that, all through when games should have been being played, the players were meeting, and from everything I've read, they are very, very contentious discussion, a lot of emotion. There were a couple of guys, Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James, wanted to pull the plug on the entire rest of the playoffs in the NBA. That would have been disastrous.
Right. And you got to remember, these guys are in the bubble. They've been away from their families for a long time. You have this unrest going on in the country. And then so they're thinking like this, right? Like he said, they wanted initially to pull the plug. They're like really emotional. They slept on it, though, came back the next morning and said, all right, We need to, I think we have, and look at what they have, the platform they have right now with the NBA, with ESPN, with all of the coverage on TNT, and then every sports talk show host or sports show on, in the mornings is talking about this. So they have that platform right now with the playoffs there. If they were to go home to their respective, back to their respective homes, would they have that same platform and the attention that they're getting from many different varieties that, that they're getting?
I couldn't agree more, and especially with what you said earlier about the unified front. I think that way, in anything, any team sport, any anything, you have to be under the understanding that the team is the best and the best decision made for the team. And when you encompass the NBA teams under the NBA blanket as a whole, that's the exactly right way they had to do it. Unified front, take on it, talk about it, sleep on it, come to another conclusion, brainstorm, and move forward from there.
It was pretty cool. I thought that the NBA led this thing, and the Milwaukee Bucks especially, and the other leagues quickly followed suit. The WNBA, obviously, you know, baseball immediately. There were three games canceled the first day, and several more last night, and you know, hockey. JC and I talked about it yesterday afternoon. It felt a little bit like they got caught a little flat-footed. There was a game underway already, the Philadelphia and New York Islanders, when Milwaukee decided not to play. The NHL played the rest, the other two games, and then their players got together yesterday with the Hockey Diversity Alliance, led by Evander Kane, Matt Dumba, a couple of the minority players in the league, and basically the NHL agreed to, in a very united way, basically said silence is complicity. We need to be involved in this thing, and they canceled their games yesterday and today.
Well, there's a lot of things at play. First and foremost, a lot of guys were going to opt out of the bubble until the NBA made it, was going to make it a huge platform for Black Lives Matter. Okay. And it is. It's all over the place. Guys are wearing, you know, vote and their own individual messages on the back of their jerseys, and it's all over the floor. But most of the players, Rich, the, you know, the LeBron Jameses of the world are like, well, we're in this bubble. We're trying to get a message out, and this continues to happen. So what an incredible waste of time this has been to stay away from their families. I completely agree with that. Yeah. You know, my son Nick and I were talking about that. You know, Nick's tied to the Pistons a little bit. He told me categorically that, Dad, they're not going to play any more basketball. So, you know, but Keith and I had an idea that they need to change the messaging. Okay, yeah, you're right, Rich. People are looking right now at all the reporting that's going on ESPN. But, you know, I hate to say it, President Trump is right. Basketball ratings are down. Over 20% since they stepped into the bubble.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that turned a blind eye to this. I told Keith that when we mentioned this a couple of days ago on a Game On update, I got a call from a listener who said, I don't want to talk about politics. We're reporting a sports story.
Right.
But people, most Americans want to be left alone. Most, they're in their little bubble. They, you know, maybe I don't want to watch basketball because that messaging is so strong.
Well, I mean, I've had a lot of conversations in the last couple of months, mainly with Northern Michigan people. And to a person, they said they do not like the mixture of politics and sports. Mm-hmm. But and I get that. But I also understand, look, in today's world, those two worlds are colliding. Okay. We're dealing with a humanity issue. Okay, it's not always necessarily politics, but we're dealing with the humanity, how to treat other people. You know what I mean? So if you kind of put it that way and look at it from that light, it takes politics out of it, and it's just treating people with respect and how you're supposed to treat people.
First of all, if we're not talking about this, we're not doing our jobs.
I get it.
But the other part of it is what the players are saying to us right now is that you don't like the mixture of sports and politics? That's too damn bad. That's too bad, because we refuse to be the distraction that you want us to be, so that you're not thinking about the stuff that we should be thinking about right now. Kelly Rudy, the former Islanders and LA Kings goaltender Canadian national TV the other night, was talking about, you know, he said, I don't even want to be here. You know, we should be taking this time right now talking to our families about what's happening on our streets in America right now. And you know, I don't care if that's if that's politics. These are sports people bringing it to us, throwing it in our faces, and making us address it, or at least trying like hell.
And, right, Nick. And that's real quick, Nick, you can take over, but it's the younger generation of having no problem of mixing the political spectrum and with the sports. Keith, it's old school wouldn't do that. Newer school now, they have no problem doing that at all.
Well, it's just, and you know, with the younger fans and stuff like that, it's an issue that just needs to eventually be addressed, no different than any of our issues years and years ago. Yeah. It's just one thing now we just kind of have to adjust and meander through and figure out. And when you get to it, like what you said earlier about the there is no pandemic playbook right now. So being in the bubble, isolated away from your families, that's got to be tough on anybody, especially in a time where health safety is like at utmost, you know, risk. And here we go. I know Draymond Green did some things online about really being outspoken about using the games and playing as a platform to push their thought process, their narrative, and their concerns, which I guess I couldn't agree even more. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's just, you know, this is how, this is their voice, this is their way, there's their time to do it, and it's a way to reach a lot of people at once.
So, originally we thought there would be NBA games today. Now it looks like they will begin again on Saturday. The NHL is off again today, but there isn't anything definitive. I don't see that games are absolutely scheduled for Saturday. So, the Tigers were canceled yesterday when the Twins decided they didn't want to play to make their statement. It's a little frustrating from the baseball standpoint how this is happening on a team-by-team, case-by-case basis. But, you know, you've got – look, at the Cardinals won't be boycotting any games because they're already 10 games behind the wheel for everybody else. So, there's again, there's so many different things at play. It's easy for anybody to stand up and shout whatever message they want. You know, like you said, Rich, I don't want my politics with sports. Well, you know what? That's what you're going to get. We're not turning down the egg roll. The egg roll of politics is coming with your chow mein of sports.
It's a new sports world out there.
Well, I think that's here to stay. Players have realized they understand now.
Does
the platform
they
have.
College.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
And it's about damn time. We'll talk about that a little bit later, about the lawsuit that 9 Nebraska football players have sued the Big Ten for a compensation of $75,000 per player for the postponement of the football season. And I don't know who the attorney is, but that's going to shine a light on a lot of things. But that's a whole different other message than what's happening with Black Lives Matter. Keith and I talked about this the day after it happened, but Rich, I don't know if you saw it. Nick, I don't know if you saw the talk that Doc Rivers gave following the game, following the shooting, and that really hit home. I mean, if any one of us had to give the speech that Doc Rivers, who has been famous for a long time, mm-hmm. Doc Rivers was a great college and professional basketball player, head coach of the Boston Celtics, won an NBA championship, and have to tell his kids, one of them who's an NBA star, you have to follow certain rules or you can get shot. We've never had to make that speech.
No, the conversations that black fathers have to have with their sons about how to deal with authority on the streets of America is sobering when you think about it. And JC, you and I talked the other day about the messaging of all this, and yeah, the players are getting a lot of attention and so on, but I'd like to see the PSAs mm-hmm. during the games from every player, every black player. Every young black man in America has a personal story or 10 to tell about what's happened to them on the streets of America. Mm-hmm. And we need to hear those things.
And it's time to take the messaging and take a step forward and get with the politicians and get legislation passed, all of that stuff. That's the next step in really moving this forward.
I haven't heard much from politicians. You know, I've heard from Donald Trump. He said what you just said, Most people don't want to hear this. And you know what? You can call Trump a racist or whatever else, but the ratings and everything else prove that to be true. Just saying.
Yeah. Another element to all this, I think.
I haven't heard what did Biden. Biden, you know, commended the NBA for taking this stance. But, you know, nobody had really picked up and run with that ball. So, you know, it's this is a this is almost borderline political third rail like Social Security reform.
It feels like to me, too, that the players are trying, especially in the NBA, but in all sports, the players are trying to drag the owners into this thing a little bit.
That's the key.
Who owns professional sports teams? Billionaires.
Right.
Billionaires. Who runs this country? Billionaires. I mean, they have the influence with the people in Washington, with the Mitch McConnells of the world and so on, because of the pile of money that they're all sitting on. If the owners got involved in this thing a little bit more politically and said things have to change in Washington, I'm not writing that check when you're running for re-election, that things will start to change. It's the owners. I want to see more from them about all this.
And then just briefly, JC, I know we need to get to a break, but the Milwaukee Bucks owner, quickly when the players did what they did, they had the attorney general and the governor on a conference call within minutes because the owner stepped in, yep. Keith, to your thing, and all of a sudden they're talking with the bigwigs of the state of Wisconsin. So that's, you're exactly right. The guys with the money, with the political pull, need to get involved.
Well, look, we watched 3 months ago, three months ago or so, when FedEx and Pepsi forced the Washington Redskins to take their name down, okay? But right now, I haven't seen that from Pepsi or any other big company going to the Pistons, going to whatever partners they have. I mean, I'm trying to think of the bank that is tied to the Pistons. Okay, if that's going to change, then the big financial partners that prop up these leagues are the ones that are going to have to make the statement. You know, the owners can say whatever they want. The owners are in business to make money. So if their big business partners don't support this, if their big business partners are like what President Trump is saying, that people don't want to mix their politics with sports, then this is not going to go anywhere. And it will continue to be it's divisive. I mean, I could not believe when somebody called me on the air right after I mentioned this as a sports story and said, I don't want politics with my sports talk. JC, if you continue to do it, I'm not going to listen to the radio. Okay? So if one of my business partners, Odawa Casino, says,
right,
you stop talking about that and we're not going to advertise with you anymore, where does that stand?
Well, I think we're really...
It's been happening on Fox News for a long time, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay. And I think we're really early in the process, too, to where you like in table games when I try a new initiative or new promotion, I've got to get it kind of out there. And I don't know exactly what's going to happen until a month or so down the road when I get the hard numbers and the information. I think the NBA, I think every sports organization right now is going to have to really look at that once they see the ratings, this and that. But you have to also understand, too, that these games are also being played at really weird hours as well, too, as far as when it comes to the ratings. I mean, we're talking NBA games sometimes on a weekday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's unheard of. People have jobs. People are returning back to work.
Yeah, but the premier games were all taking place at 7 at 9 o'clock. You know, when I was having this conversation with my son Nick a couple of days ago, I just assumed that ratings were up because the level of play has been so good. He goes, Dad, ratings are down.
Big
ratings
time.
Are down significantly. So I don't know if when they resume and we're in the second and third round where that all pans out. But, you know, the owners are going to take a hard look at it, Rich.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And, you know, there's a whole other thing about this. I don't want to spend a half an hour talking about this. But part of the conversation that happened with the players is the gal, Michelle Robinson, came in and talked to them about what their contracts happen. And if you boycott the rest of the season, the owners can go ahead and tear up the last year of the contract, which they probably would do, and put everything back into collective bargaining. And if their dollars are down, that means the caps are coming down and everything else. And Patrick Beverley from the Clippers screamed at her. He goes, I pay your salary. Well, no, you don't, sir. The television ratings and the international markets pay Patrick Beverley's salary. So if there is a whipsaw backlash about this, then you're going to see way reduced dollars and way reduced influence of what, you know. Yeah, LeBron James might be the voice of sports right now, but if LeBron James stops talking, is anything going to change? If LeBron James starts talking, I mean, I don't know how much louder he can talk.
Right, and Michelle Roberts' job is to inform all of the players of what's going on outside, because you can be in your little cocoon and think everybody thinks like you do. But she needs to inform these players of exactly what is going on in the real world.
She's a black woman, by the way.
Yes, she is. And she needs to, that's why she, it's important for her to do her job and inform, you know, knowledge is power. What do other people, what is the rest of the world doing? What are they thinking so we can make our decisions? It is important.
But Nick is really right. In a practical application, you got to try something, see if it sticks.
Absolutely.
Okay? You know, Rich, you know, you got up there and say, look at all the people watching. They're not. The people are not watching. Yeah, the people are talking about it. Sports talk. People like us are talking. I'd like to see what how many people are shutting off ESPN. Well, and I don't have time to talk about it anymore. We're going to move on. But something's got to happen. They got to try to move something forward and then see if it's successful. See if it can be supported. So, when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we will actually talk about sports. Got a doubleheader today with the Tigers and the Twins, the suddenly rejuvenated Tigers. So we'll talk about that when we return on Friday Faceoff here on WGRY, brought to us by Odawa Casino and Resort in Petoskey.
Perfect.
We're back here on Friday Faceoff on WGRY, brought to us by Odawa Casino and Resort in Petoskey. Nick Foles joining us as the Director of Gaming. And, of course, the usual suspects, Rich Calkins, Keith Gave, and Jerry Coyne in studio. And the Tigers, who were reeling a week ago, guys, when we were in here talking about, well, it's all over. They had a 9-game losing streak, took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs. And I'm excited about this series with the Twins.
How can you not be? The Tigers are 13-16 now. What is it? 448.
We don't know. It looks. I just got the message from Tom Milliken. There's supposed to be a doubleheader today. Boyd going in the opener, which was supposed to happen at 1 o'clock today, right, Rich? And
yes, it was. Yeah, 1:10 was supposed to be first.
They haven't canceled that game yet. It's just raining pretty hard in Detroit, and it looks like there's going to be storms off and on. And of course, the hurricane already made it all the way to Kentucky, so that's going to affect the weather as well. The Twins, one of the best teams in the American League, is really going to be a great judge for where the Tigers stand right now.
Yeah, it is, JC. And again, the Tigers are coming off back-to-back series wins against really good teams, the Indians and the Cubs. They're playing really well. The Twins are on a small 2-game losing streak. We'll take it, though. Hopefully they can get at least one game in today, possibly, JC. But this Tigers team, led by Jonathan Scope and Miguel Cabrera, coming back now to the where he should be in his batting average and doing. About 5 days ago, I was going to come on here today and say he's a shot fighter. He's done. He can't do it, man. And then like the last 4 games, he's really come through. He's hitting the ball again. He's not hitting it deep, not hitting for power. But I tell you what, he's getting on base. He's having 2 or 3 hits a game right now, and it's really good to see. He's getting paid a whole lot of money. And, man, this Tigers team, if you're not watching any of these games or listening to them here on this station, 101.1, it really is an exciting young team. They're fun to watch and listen to.
Well, JC, you were complaining about the bats for a long time there, and rightly so. They weren't hitting. They pounded out 18 hits, season high, the other night to win. And they've had a couple of big innings, 5-run sixth innings in both of those wins against the Cubs. So they're winning different ways, and the young pitchers are hanging in there.
The Cubs came into this series with the best bullpen in the league, and the Tigers lit them up to 2 out of 3 games. Yep. Got to their bullpen. John Lester was his usual tough self on the Tigers. except for Cabrera. Cabrera owns Lester, and it turned out to be the case again. But no, the bats have woken up. Keith, you pointed out on Game On a couple of days ago that Gardenhire has moved some pieces around in and out of the lineup, and it looks to have been successful. So, as I said, you know, the Twins are going to be a great bellwether. Rich, we mentioned jokingly yesterday, who is Randy Dobnik?
Yeah, exactly.
The best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, for some reason, that guy is really finding his groove right now, isn't he? I mean, incredible.
I haven't even heard of him.
No, ERA is down. His whip is really good. Walks, you know, plus hits per inning. And it's just, yeah, he's come out of nowhere. And is pitching lights out. So, again, this will be a great test. Again, just before the trade deadline, by the way, Monday is the trade deadline. And we'll see what happens if the Tigers, you know, they're still potential. They're just a few games out of the playoff race right now.
I don't see the Tigers doing anything either way. I don't see them moving anybody. And the only guy I've seen that mentioned at all, Keith, for the Tigers, if they're sellers, is Austin Romine.
I've seen Lynn Henning mention Spencer Turnbull's name as a – I would hate
that's
to see
guess.
That.
That's a guess. That's no way it's happening.
Yeah.
They're not paying him anything.
No.
Why would you?
I yeah. agree with all that.
Yeah. I'm just saying Austin Romine could be used by a contender.
Oh, yes.
You know, most of the teams that are poised to move into the playoff phase have got some really good pitching. I mean, look at the Indians. They traded their two best pitchers, and they have the second best starting staff in baseball. How does that happen?
Yeah, you got a guy named Justin Bieber out there throwing darts. You know what I mean? And then they got all these other guys that come out of nowhere. I never heard about them in college. I never heard about them anywhere else. But the Cleveland Indians consistently put out great pitching year in and year out.
You know, just as a side note about the Indians, Francona has. I would watch out for that. He's coming down with some really serious illness problems, and those gastrointestinal problems all of a sudden end up being way more serious. I mean, that's how Glenn Frey died. I mean, they just couldn't solve that, and bang. So, encouragement and prayers for Tito Francona, because he hasn't been on the bench.
Terry Francona.
Well, his nickname is Tito.
His father was Tito.
Okay, you're right. Terry Francona.
But right, they do. I've heard many times him called Tito as well.
Yeah. So, the Indians, everybody thought that the Indians were done. They traded off their two best assets. Instead, they're a better team than they were last year.
And they're talking about, a couple of big names are talking about being traded from there, Clevinger and Plesak, the two guys who...
Well, Clevinger pitched very well.
It was a showcase game, I think, for him.
Maybe. I mean, you could be right, depending on the haul for for them. So at least the Tigers should be back on the radio. We will keep you informed, but at 1:10... here on WGRY should be the first pitch. Any other observations from baseball? Rich, I know you've got your notes there.
Yeah, just about how the three teams in the AL Central are really competing. Minnesota right now is about a half game up. They're 20-12. And with the White Sox and Cleveland Indians both at 19-12, and then the Tigers are in fourth right now at 13-16. But again, Tigers are only like two games out of the last wild card spot. So you said, JC, you think that they'll do nothing, and that's a very good chance of doing nothing before the trade deadline. I would put Jonathan Scope out there also as a possible trade piece. He's only signed a one-year deal. Yeah. He's a guy that he's only 28 years old. So he's still a relatively young, right in the middle of his career, I should say. He'd be a nice guy, actually. I'd like to see the Tigers possibly sign to like a three-year deal to help bridge these young guys.
Along with C.J. Cron, yeah.
I don't think the Tigers would move C.J. Cron. I think they like him quite a bit.
He's on a one-year deal too, isn't he?
Yeah, but it's $5 million bucks, I don't know. I guess a lot of people were surprised that the Twins moved on from Scope and C.J. Cron. So the Tigers got him at bargain prices. Now, maybe who knows what the market in baseball will be. Most people predict it's going to be down because nobody had any fans in here. That's why they don't think there'll be that much action on the trading market. A lot of guys, a lot of baseball executives don't even know how you value a world championship in this pandemic. So why would you put your ass on the line to try to win it? Everybody is going to be ducking for cover. If you thought free agency was skinny for this coming year, wait till you see 2021. And that's the same issue that's going to be with the NBA no matter what.
In every sport, yeah.
Yeah, in every sport. Yeah. When we return here on Friday Faceoff, we're going to talk about NFL, how to bet it, what kind of bets we can make, what we've been hearing from the Lions. I've finally getting some information on what the field looks like. And Jeff Okuda not really living up to his initial booking. God damn it. We'll be back after these on Friday Faceoff, brought to us by Odawa Casino here on WGRY. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on WGRY, brought to us by Odawa Casino and Resort in Petoskey and Mac City. Jerry Coyne in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave. Nick Foles from Odawa Casino, the director of gaming, is stepped out in the hallway to make some bets. So he'll be back in a few minutes with some extra dough for us to throw around. But Keith was asking an interesting question. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we plan on broadcasting live all day long, Keith, on the 10th. Not that you have to be there all day long, but Finster's going to open his show there. Joe Mama is broadcasting. I'll be broadcasting. And Jabo's also going to do a show. We haven't determined what time we're going to have it, but one of the programs that we have wrapped around the opening of the sports book, which coincidentally is going to be the first day of the NFL.
Yeah.
That Thursday 10th is the Texans versus the Chiefs. So we think that we'll have a lot of cool action, a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be our first live broadcast since February.
Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. So we're excited about it. But on top of everything else that we are, you know, we'll have a big educational piece interviewing Chris, who's going to be the director of the sports book, a number of times on the kind of bets and what you can expect when you go to the sports book at Odawa Casino. But we have a School of Rock sports bracket game that we're doing. Right, so we're going to have a draft between the four jocks, Finster, Joe Mama, myself, and Jabo, and we're going to each draft eight rock bands, and we're going to play it down into a bracket game. Really? And we've got businesses tied to each band. We're going to have listeners tied to each band. And then there's going to be online voting every day for which band, you know, who's a better band, the Talking Heads or AC/DC, and it's all going to go down like that. So we're going to have a lot of fun with a lot of different ways to bet. Because if you think about it, the most popular way to bet in this country is either brackets or squares.
Oh, yeah, especially brackets for March Madness, squares for the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
Right? But boy, it's really kind of throwing a dart at a dartboard. You know, you got to pick a blank square and hope you get 0-7 or something so you could win a quarter. A sports book is a whole different world that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, no question, Keith. And like you said, you know, we did our Michigan Sports Legend here that you put a lot of time and effort into this spring, Keith, and that worked out.
I don't like Keith's chances of doing the rock bands.
Yeah. He was really good with the Michigan Sports Legends.
Yeah,
he was awesome with that. But, right, I'm definitely going to let the experts take over in the rock band brackets.
So you're starting with 32 rock bands.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And just every day just have a battle of the bands.
Yeah, so when we're drafting our bands, you have to think – somewhat along the lines of the audience who's going to vote, because not necessarily, I mean, on paper, you would probably think that, let's just say, for example, Bruce Springsteen is probably a better, more popular artist than Bob Seger. Probably not in Michigan. So, and luckily, I've been fielding our request lines for 8 years, so I think I have a decent pulse on what bands are going to do the best. And, you know, obviously Led Zeppelin is probably a mortal lock to make it to the Final Four. Depending on the matchups, you don't know how else that's going to roll exactly. down. I won't say anything else. But, Nick, I wanted to talk to you. I mean, obviously Chris is going to be the Obi-Wan Kenobi
yes,
of the
definitely.
Sports of the sports books. But, you know, there are some futures bets already for the NFL.
There are some, yeah.
You've got the over and unders for yep. win totals, and then you've got the odds for the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Now, I'm assuming that you'll be able to make those bets at the book.
Yeah, once we're up and running, there's so many of those things we're going to be able to make. We're going through right now and looking at the select prop bets as well, the teasers, the parlays, and
so
and
there
all
are
that
going to
jazz.
Be all
so
that.
We're pushing for as much as Vegas can give us. We're really going to try and hit the ground running and go from there. The good news is, again, to get it up and running, get everything going smooth, and then with what we want to do, especially with Chris' expertise, he'll be up on the floor talking to people, showing people how to use the kiosks, what bets to make, how to the right terminology with the tellers and all that stuff. And then also through that, getting to know the players, this and that, and then finding out what they want more. And then just like we were talking about earlier, just going back to the drawing board, using that data, and then giving the players what they want.
So there's a strong educational and promotional component to all this to get people comfortable with what you have to offer.
Absolutely. Yeah. There has to be.
Yeah.
Any new initiative, right. You just have to. And with the buzz that has sports betting, sports book, all that, every time somebody goes to Vegas, they're usually making a bet one way or the other just because they can't do it back home.
Right.
And now with the legalization in a lot more states, we're going to do everything we can to make that Vegas feel, but a little Northern Michigan feel on a Vegas take.
What are you feeling from people? Is there some excitement building about this? Are people talking about it?
There's definitely excitement. Yeah. I mean, people have been asking ever since Whitmer signed off onto it and the legalization went, a lot of people thought that as soon as it went into effect, we could take sports that next day.
Right.
You know, what they don't understand is with casinos, there's so much regulations to follow, and, you know, nothing happens overnight. And again, of course, with a pandemic, it kind of just puts the brakes on it. But we're doing everything we can. We're going to hit it running, and we're going to listen to the players. We're going to do Sports Betting University. We do the same thing in table games called Table Games University. On select dates and times, we let people come in, learn how to play the games for free, and then I give them usually a couple $5 free bets, so the first two bets are on us. So hopefully we'll do something along that lines with Sports Betting University. Get them
We're
going to
have Finster doing it.
Yeah,
joining.
Finster's coming on live.
We're going to be doing that. Some of that on the radio. We're going to be doing a lot of that on Facebook and YouTube, so you'll be able to just dial that up. Because Finster doesn't know anything about betting. You know, Nick and I have talked about this. You know, it's both of our favorite things to do when you go to Vegas is head to the sports book. One thing, I've already had two people ask me this question, and I said it on the radio. Other than major horse racing, you're not going to have daily horse racing available to bet at the sports book.
No, when it comes to parimutuel, it's going to be those big nationally televised races that we're going to have and this and that. And if you're there and on property, lucky enough, you might get to see my 6'5", 370-pound frame in a jockey outfit. So,
did you lose 10 pounds?
I think I lost 10 pounds, yeah. I get really nervous with public speaking. I'm very I struggle with self-confidence sometimes.
I know how you lose 10 pounds.
Yeah.
I know how you lose 10 pounds. You left your wallet in the car.
There you go. Absolutely. My wife carries that, so, you know.
She must be a strong woman.
She's great, yeah.
So let's talk about the odds that you can bet on right now. I'm trying to find Super Bowl odds. I wanted to explain those a little bit, but what's really easy, the most in-your-face futures bet on the NFL is the over-under win totals. You know, we talk about that all the time as a bellwether. I think we mentioned it when the Tigers came back to play, is the over and under for the Tigers was 21.5 wins. Well, it looked great for them, and then they lost 9 in a row, and now that, you know, so guys are white-knuckling that particular bet.
They're at 13, we're a game short of halfway through the season. They're at 13 already. I love the over there.
Yeah. The Right now, the Lions are a surprising 6.5, an over 6.5 wins. I like that. I would take the over on that.
Definitely. I'm with you on that, JC. I think this Lions team definitely, again, if Stafford, it all goes back to Stafford being healthy. If he's healthy, this could potentially a 8-10 win Lions team.
These Lions could move a lot, though. Because of what's happened in Vegas, you haven't had near the amount of sportsbook betting on this. This is one of the most popular bets in the sportsbook day in and day out as NFL futures, overs, and unders. So, you know, they get affected by if all of a sudden a whole bunch of people think, yeah, the Lions are going to a lock to win 8 games, money's going to pour in on them. When we were talking about it off air, I said, okay, well, let's take a look at the other teams in the Central Division because, you know, if you play well against your division teams and you each got to play them twice, then you've got a pretty good shot at getting over 6.5 games. Surprisingly, the Bears are the next team up the line, and they've got them for 2.5 more wins, 8.5. I think that's a poor bet. I would take the under there. Yeah. Before I would take the over on the Lions.
Yeah,
they don't even know who their quarterback is going to be. Well, there's going to be a Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky. Their running back just got hurt in camp, a fairly serious injury. So, I mean, yeah, they've got a lot of things. They have a good defense, but offensively, I think they're going to struggle.
They do have a very good defense, but you've got the Packers and the Vikings at just 9. So are you telling me that the Bears are half game less than the Vikings or the Packers? The only reason why people are betting on the Packers at all at 9 games is because there's a lot of sentiment that they think Aaron Rodgers is going to have just a monster year this year. There's a lot of other sentiment that said Rodgers is going to throw in the towel and try to get bounced out of Green Bay. So that's an interesting bet.
But these numbers are set in Vegas, right?
Yeah, everything is set through Vegas, yeah.
Will the number, the 6.5 for the Detroit Lions, change here in Michigan because the way the money might come in on the Lions here?
The feeds are going to go from the Vegas yeah, odds, right, and feeds. Right. Everything is going to feed off of that right there. Right. So I don't see it affecting it a whole heck of a lot when it comes to that. But, I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, as far as 6.5 games for the Lions, as the oversight of Odell Casino Sportsbook, I will remain neutral, plead the fifth, because regardless of your fan points, I would love your business. You know, without wearing the badge here on my sleeve, being a diehard Lions fan as much as I possibly can be in this day and age, that seems like 6.5 games, especially with what I've read. That looks like a solid bet.
The Ravens and the Chiefs are the you'd expect to be at the top. They're only at 11.5 wins. One of those teams is going to win 14 games. So, and then you've got the Saints right there at 10.5. I like the Saints, but that division is now loaded. You got the Bucs in there. The Falcons are in there. That's going to be a tough division to win 11 games in. So that's how you got to, you can't just go, oh, yeah, the Lions. You have to look at the schedule. You got to anticipate a few things. I mean, professional football is the hardest thing to bet in the universe because there's so much money at it. There's so many people looking at it.
Vegas is so good at the point spreads. I mean, it's just like it's amazing when you look at the game just as a neutral observer for a different game. You're like, look at it, go, no way is that a 7-point game. There's no way in heck, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, you go to the end of that game, it's a 7-point game. They're just like, it's amazing how many times they get it exactly right.
Not only do they get that right, they get the over and under right. I mean, that's almost as popular a bet. When guys that really like action that don't like point spreads, they still bet. They just bet the over and the under.
They do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So and that's how you analyze it. I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount. Well, you do. You guys all know. I mean, you're a sports writer, Keith. You bop around online, especially as we head into the fall here. And unfortunately, we're not going to have at least Big Ten football or Pac-12 football to bet on. Hopefully. The SEC, the ACC, we do have some college football to bet on. But the amount of people that you can buy information from and guaranteed winners and everything else, that's a billion-dollar industry. not a million-dollar industry. That's a billion-dollar industry. That's what I say when Keith is in here, and I want to bet him on the fact that the NFL is going to finish their season. That's why, because on top of everything else, the ancillary businesses that run around the NFL, even without fans in the stands, is insane. It dwarfs every other sport. So
that's a good argument, JC, and I you know, it's hard to dispute that. Absolutely, but you know, this virus doesn't play any favorites.
When's the last time you heard we didn't talk about it. We'll talk about when we get into into our last segment. We haven't actually talked about what's going on in Lions camp or some other places, but there hasn't been any COVID outbreaks now that we've been 3 weeks into practice. And how about the testing lab that had returned 77 false positive tests and sat down the Buffalo Bills for 2 days?
Wow.
So there's a lot more to talk about. But when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we will look at the Lions and the upcoming NFL season, because what? We are less than 3 weeks away to NFL live football.
Less than two.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back after these on Friday Faceoff on WGRY, brought to us by Odawa Casino and Resort, Petoskey and Mackinac City, open for dining and gaming now. We are back here on Friday Faceoff on WGRY, brought to us by Odawa Casino and Resort in Petoskey and Mac City, with Nick Foles joining us, the director of gaming from Odawa Casino in Petoskey, and of course the usual suspects. What's your guys' names? Richard Keith. Anyways, before we get into Lions, and we definitely don't have that much time to talk about the Lions, which is good, because only until a couple of days ago there wasn't really much to say, Rich. But Nick, your particular focus is games, not slots. So you're talking about
table games,
blackjack,
roulette, craps, carnival games, all that. Yeah, poker room.
Talk briefly about blackjack and craps. I know you said you have board game university.
Table
game university, yeah. But, you know, I know enough about craps to be dangerous. That is the best odds in the house.
Pretty good. Yeah, they're really good. So if you know enough to be dangerous, then we open the table today at 4, so I'll see you there.
Damn,
I'll even buy you lunch.
Till 6.
Sink the teeth into them right there, right? Dice, we've been doing really well. Just so everybody does know, too, everything is socially distanced as much as it can be. For our dice table, which can stand 10 people on each side, we only offer 5 on each side to
promote
social distancing. When it comes to dice and the sanitizing, every time there's a new shooter, the box person, the dice gets sanitized. So anytime the guest touches a set of dice, a pair of dice, they've been sanitized. You know, and the same thing with
everything. But as long as the shooter has the dice, he can keep his own.
It's the same,
dice.
Yeah. As soon as the point, it's the 7-out basically is what we call it. So then once it comes to the new roll, the new shooter, then we make sure the dice are sanitized.
Are you still allowing women to kiss the dice?
Women can kiss whatever they want at this point, as far as I'm concerned, man. Whatever. Men follow women. So if I can, you know, any female women want to be dealers, hey, I got a number here, right? So.
And then very briefly, blackjack. I know some about blackjack. Do you have variable shoe tables?
All of our shoes are 6-deck blackjack.
Okay.
We did have a double-deck blackjack pitch is what they call it as well. That has not been up and running since we reopened.
Gotcha.
But right now it's all 6-deck. They're all in a shuffler. And then we just go from there.
Oh, that's the most popular game after.
Blackjack, yeah, absolutely.
The table game is by far and away.
60% of our tables are blackjack.
Yeah, right. And you have a great – great patronage of that. Most of the times you walk into Odawa Casino and your blackjack tables are busy.
That's the hope, man, especially, you know, we want to do everything we can. We do a lot of promotions in table games. We do a lot of ways to incentivize people to stay at the tables, play. When we get Sportsbook up and running, we're going to do a lot of cross promotions between Sportsbook and table games because the two are really synonymous with each other. And we'll be doing, when we do like the pick of the days and stuff like that, working with you guys, then we'll also offer the game on the TV in the table games pit. And well, wouldn't you know, I'll also be giving away prizes while these certain games are being on. So there's a lot of ways we're going to do that.
Your minimum at the tables changes from time to time?
It does. So with the limited seating, right, normally we have six at the table. Now we have four.
Right.
The minimum bet right now is $10.
You moved it because you had some $5 tables.
You have to be profitable in this day and age. You know, even our carnival games and everything, we bumped up to 10. However, the managers on duty have the right. So if it's a little slower, they can drop the limits if needed. And then when it picks back up, there's notification on the tables that the limits can be increased for business needs and everything. Got to make that money.
So I got a bet for you right now, guys. Would Nick be the biggest guy on the Detroit Lions roster right now?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm voting yes as well, Nick.
You forgot out, left out handsome. He would be, yes, the most handsome player. But I would say I'm probably 50-50. I don't know what the linemen are, but I think there's a couple big boys probably my size up there.
Well, A'shaun Robinson would be the only one close, but I do not believe there's any. Well, you told me on Tuesday that you were 380, and you came in here with 370 today. So
I think that's changed in the last 5 minutes. I think I'm down to 344 now. I'm down to 344, and I've been drinking a lot of water.
The Lions signed a new D lineman today, Rich.
Yeah, they did. They needed to replenish their stock there. They're a little bit down in that department anyway, the defensive tackle, and so they did sign another one, JC. We'll see how that all pans out. Some of the information coming out of camp, like you said, it's been tough getting it, you know, until just recently. Jeff Okuda, real quick, has been getting burnt in the red zone competition in camp. That's not a good sign, but it's training camp. He's a good athlete. He's going to do fine.
Well, I'm sure they are teaching him completely different techniques that he ever had at Ohio State, which was just go do what you want to do, because that's what it says on your diploma at Ohio State. Is go do what you
go
want
be
to
an
do.
Athlete. That's it.
But no, I'm not high.
Oh,
not yet. No, actually, Rich, the information coming out of camp has not been great the last couple days. Reporters talking about multiple drops, a bad execution in the red zone, just a plethora of issues.
Yeah, exactly. One of the good things, though, coming out of this whole thing, I think the relationship that Matt Patricia is now establishing with his players is much improved than what it was just a few years ago. Players are really giving him kudos for giving them the times to speak their mind, to do different things, and that's been a strained relationship from the beginning. I think that is improving, and that can only help team morale.
You know what's going to be really interesting, Nick, is without preseason games, the betting line for the first NFL games, either the house is going to take a bath or the players are going to take a bath, because there's not going to be any real way to judge how teams – the first two games in the NFL season are usually a crapshoot anyways, but without preseason game, man – you are throwing darts at a dartboard.
Well, it's hard to tell. And like what you said also, too, is that when it comes down to, like, hearing the reports of dropping balls, getting burnt in the red zone, I mean, this is where you iron out those kinks now. I mean, especially in the preseason time, especially the starters, they get their little bit of playing time. They can assess what they need to do from the tapes at that point. Remain focused is the focus on the new guys or the up-and-comers, you know? So you're right. It's going to be crazy. But, again, all the more reason why we partner with U.S. Bookmaking out in Vegas. According to our sportsbook manager, they're the best of the best. Their analyst, his name's Robert Walker. We follow him on Twitter. You know, we have a really good relationship with him. So, I mean,
I'll have to follow that guy on Twitter.
Robert Walker, USB. Yeah. So definitely look forward to it. But at the same time, it is what it is. People are asking for it. And in the gaming industry, we're going to give them what they want.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it as well. Very quickly, one observation that I have over the NFL completely is the lack of major injuries. Now, I know we haven't played preseason games, but only that Grant Delpit Achilles tendon tear. And what happened to McCoy down in Dallas,
right.
Usually every few days you got a star getting injured. And you know, know, Delpit's injury was one of those non-contacts. That's what happens with your Achilles, right?
Exactly. Safety out of LSU.
Yeah. The Lions had a long, hard look at Delpit. He was a great, great player at LSU, so that's not going to help the Browns at all. But that has been, knock on wood, one of the cool things so far. We haven't had the usual decimation of athletes. Keith, is your you want to mention that 5K again, don't you?
Yeah, we can mention it again before Labor Day weekend. But the 5K in at the cross country ski headquarters in Roscommon on Labor Day, a 5K run. $25 to get in. It benefits.
Where do they go online to get in that?
I don't know. I don't have the. I'm sorry.
Okay, next.
Surprise. But I'll have more information next week. Sorry.
Nick, anything else?
The
casino is open 24/7 now. No,
it's not 24/7. We close at 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. We do deep cleaning every night. You know,
okay, good.
And when it comes to health and safety, like I said, we do temperature checks at the door. You have to wear a mask.
Is that the same hours in Mac City?
It's different in Mac City. I would have to double check. I want to say they close at 1 or 2.
There's no table games in Mac City. It's all slots.
Not yet. We're working on that currently. We think we found a solution to kind of get us through that. With tables in the wintertime, and once we have we're adding 9,000 plus square feet as
well.
That's
what I heard.
So,
yeah,
we're gonna have trying to incorporate table games in there a little bit. But then again, sorry, when it comes to health and safety, like I said, anybody who wants to play table games, know that we went above the CDC guidelines. My guys are wearing facial protection as well as gloves. So at no time do, when it comes to their health and safety, their hands or anything does not come in contact with chips, cash, or anything. It's all, there's always that barrier there to keep our guys safe and secure. And, you know, for not being...
Now you know why we partner with Odawa Casino and Resort in Petoskey and Mac City. That's going to do it for us here on Friday Face Off. Everybody have a great weekend. And we'll see you here next Friday, hopefully with the director of Sportsbook.
Yeah.
All right.
Hurricane Chris.
All right.